So we're going to our first scripture, which is Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. This is the water from the rock. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. And they came to Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why do you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are they're almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead with the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and the water will come out of it so that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is this the Lord among us or not?" Our next scripture is Romans 5, 1 through 11, and this is the results of justification. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, we also boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God loves has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we are still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though perhaps from the good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proved his love for us in that much while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely than now that we have been justified by his blood, we'll be saved through him from the wrath of God. For a while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we received reconciliation."
Thank you, Sandy. It's a good thing that we are not set in a tradition and that we are very flexible here at this congregation. I got a phone call from Betty yesterday, and she asked me if I would read the sermon if it was sent to me. And so I read it. I loved it. And so I said, "Of course I will." And so here I am reading the Reverend Susan DeBree's message to St. Andrew. And she sends her regrets. But on the little bit on the bottom of her email via Betty, she said that she was driving from Wyoming. She got from Wyoming to Helena. And as she got to Helena, it was a full blast of snow and blizzard there. So I'm very glad that we're flexible, at least for her sake. She said that she was sorry that she wasn't here, that she enjoyed St. Andrew Church. She absolutely loved our labyrinth, and that's what her sermon is on. And I will start reading Matthew, and then I'll transfer over to her sermon. Matthew 5, 1 through 12, the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure at heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil things against you falsely. On my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted you, the prophets who were before you." When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Working with this theme created to me a clean heart. I have found praying the Beatitudes to be a means of grace, a spiritual path to follow on the lifelong journey towards perfection, a heart clean to better cradle the love of God and carry out the work of Christ in our time. Ben, did you get any?
No.
She had labyrinth pictures that she had sent, had taken the many places she has gone that had labyrinth, and she walked them often. I'm sorry we don't have the images. They weren't sent to us. The labyrinth and physical path with spiritual dimensions combined the words of the Beatitudes with walking the labyrinth. Blessed is the one in whose heart is the highway to Zion. A dear friend in Buffalo, Wyoming, got me walking regularly in a labyrinth he helped construct from Clear Creek, and I followed them in many places since, including yours. One of the ways I've used them is to help memorize core passages of the scripture, like the Beatitudes. Walking and praying with the Beatitudes opened for me the understanding that they described a journey of spiritual formation, which makes sense as Jesus taught them to his disciples at the offset of their journey together. Jesus didn't make up the Beatitudes. He pulled them together from the Old Testament. For example, Psalms 37:11 reads, "The meek shall inherit the earth." The word blessed itself deserves a little attention. To be blessed is to encounter God's presence, to be touched by God in action, to discover we are held in God's heart, to find healing and hope for our lives. Blessed means to be cleansed and released from destructive forces that bring us down, and to be freed to become instruments of God's grace. As we briefly but mindfully walk through the Beatitudes this morning, the labyrinth image accompanies them are of places I've walked and have found blessings through these places, and the spiritual practice of releasing, receiving, and returning, usually with no agenda, simply an openness to God. But I've also found that labyrinths to the help to remembering scriptures, the interplay of physical and spiritual journey, reinforce each other. I encourage you to try using the Beatitudes one at a time as you mindfully walk. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be authentic, our spiritual walk needs to begin with the recognition of our spiritual poverty, our need for grace. Jesus pointed out two men in prayer to his disciples. One was thanking God for how good he was. Oh, how righteous. He gave a tenth of his income, was faithful in the church attendance, and on and on. He was so glad he wasn't like the sinful tax collector, cowering in the corner. If it's one thing to want to be good, to lead a virtuous life, but it's altogether another to want to let others know how good we are and put others down to signal our personal virtue. Jesus pointed out that the tax collector in the corner, acknowledging his failure in praying for God's mercy, was the one who was in true relationship with God. It's hard to be humble when we're perfect in every way. Reminds me of a country western song. When we are full of ourselves, there's no space for the grace of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We may immediately think of our times of grief, losing a parent, a spouse, a child, a job, or a house. We grieve. We mourn. Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. In our grief, we may be comforted by God at work through those around us who help us through. There is another dimension to mourning. We mourn our failures, our shortcomings. We mourn the failures and sins of the world around us, the racism, the exploitation, the distortions of truth. We mourn the loss of forests to the beetle kill and the threats to monarch butterflies, the pollution of clean air and water. We can feel overwhelmed, but the mourning can lead us to take action, to confront the causes of destruction. We can turn around the serenity prayer a bit and pray, Lord, help me change the things I cannot accept. We find ourselves drawn closer to God and to others who share our concerns and discover blessings and hope. Psalm 32 reads, when I did not mourn my sins, my body wasted away. Mourning releases the grief so that we can find the blessing of comfort and healing and recognize we can be part of God's saving work. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is not about being a doormat. It's more like being a door, an opening, a conduit, setting aside our personal egos to allow God to work through us. Moses was described as the meekest man in history. Certainly not timid, but not self-serving. Moses could have stayed with his father-in-law and wife and the flocks of his sheep and lived a successful life. He argued with God about his call. I cannot do that. They won't believe me. We did not return to Egypt for his own status or power. He leaned on God directly and the strength every step of the way. We consider the state of the earth we have inherited now, and it's in trouble because too many for too long have exploited it for their own self-interest. How can we be meek, caring for earth and each other as God intended? Meekness opens us to the discernment of God's will and lean on God's creative power for the common good. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Honestly recognizing our spiritual poverty, mourning the shortfalls in ourselves and the society around us, and seeking God's direction, the strength brings us to thirsting for justice, for setting things right. And I think this is Tikkun Olam, the holy task of bringing God's healing energy into the world as best we can. When this grows out of the early steps, we're not so likely to be charged up on a great white horse in self-righteous fury as emerging out of a humble acknowledgement that we are in this together. Yet this allows for the burning of the bones, a real yearning hunger, not just a slight rumble in the tummy. A hike into Jewel Basin in the Swan River took much longer than planned in a hot summer afternoon. When the little blue lake finally appeared in the tiny cup of the valley below, we charged down the mountainside to soak it up. That kind of thirst for justice to be done. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We approach the task God has for our time with the heart of mercy, knowing we need the mercy of forgiveness every day. God be merciful to me, a sinner, the tax collector prays. God's justice calls for restoration to our relationship more than retribution. St. Thomas Aquinas described mercy without justice as the mother of dissolution. The justice without mercy is cruelty. Psalm 84 speaks of justice and mercy kissing. The hunger for time setting things right is balanced with the love of the people. As we interact with others, we do it with the desire to lift up rather than to put down. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A heart washed clean is more able to see God at work in others, not clouded by condemnation. Looking for faults all the time, this beatitude connects directly to Psalm 51. I think Eugene Peterson took special delight in his translation. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me. Tune me to foot-tapping songs. Don't look too close for blemishes. Make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Give me a job teaching rebels your ways so that the lost can find their way home. With a pure heart, we might even catch a glimpse of God in those rebels. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Peacemakers don't just sit home in their rocking chairs enjoying a peaceful evening or soaking in the peace of the great outdoors. They may find time for those moments of restoration, but they are about making peace, waging it even. They don't just pray, "Dear God, be with the sorrowing, feed the hungry, bring peace to your land." They recognize that they may be the answer to someone's prayer and find a way to bring their passion and resources into play to be the change they pray for. They show up at city council meetings and write letters to their congressional delegates. They try to see with clear eyes, pray for God's direction, take action, evaluate, keep going. They find ways to work with others on this long arc of justice. But as they do, there will be a pushback, as those are at the controls, looking out always to protect their financial interest. And so we have the last two Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. One of the basic laws of physics is that for every action there is an equal or opposite reaction. What kind of blessing is this? To be reviled and persecuted when we have been trying to do what we believe is God's will, working for justice and healing. Can't we all just get along? Unfortunately, no, we cannot, and you and I need look no further than the ways the Institute of Religion and Democracy, the IRD, has been attempting to discredit and dismantle the social justice work of our mainline Protestant churches for about the last 40 years. Their premise is that our faith should only be about our personal salvation, not about caring for others. Basically, the individualistic gospel, according to Ann Ryan, work hand in hand with ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. They focus on changing the values of our society away from social concerns and programs. Social holiness, as John Wesley described it. The Presbyterian Church, USA, has worked further through the conflict the IRD has stirred up than the United Methodist. We are in the thick of ongoing conflict. Keep praying for us, especially this May when we hold another of our global general conferences. The prophets were not immune to persecution, and Jesus certainly wasn't. Following him will get us into hot water from time to time, but walking, breathing, praying, and staying on his way is still the way of blessedness. The Beatitudes provide a pattern for the followers of Jesus to work towards bringing about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The journey begins with letting God cleanse our hearts of self-righteousness in mourning our shortfalls. We seek God's will rather than insist on our own. Our hearts hunger and thirst for God's justice, and we work for it with hearts of mercy, not manipulation or coercion. We work for God's peace built on justice and mercy, and we will encounter resistance, even persecution. People may mock us, but even in that we find blessings knowing that Jesus is still out ahead of us, going before us. We need each other in this work of being faithful followers. We need the support and the challenges, the comfort and the questions. None of us is asked to be Messiah. That job is already taken. But together we are called to be the body of Christ, carrying out the work he has for our time. One more thing. Following these Beatitudes is not a checklist, a one-time trip. We may find ourselves thinking we have reached the end, only to discover our work of justice has brought unintended consequences that need to be addressed. New concerns continue to arise. It's never done. We walk in and out and discover something else is calling us back in. Whether walking the labyrinth or sitting in an armchair or doing dishes in the kitchen or driving long miles, I encourage us to contemplate these Beatitudes. Make them our own as we strive to be faithful disciples. May the walk we take and the prayers we share and the scriptures which finds its way into our mind and cleans our heart prepare us for our task of being faithful. Thank you.